Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. And one of those issues we're going to talk about today, it's a biggie. A lot of people come home, if they were able to keep their marriage intact during the time that they were incarcerated, the survival rate of those marriages is almost zero statistically. And so many men and women have to learn how to live a divorced life when they come home from prison. And my guests today, Danielle Reagan and Tracy Duff, have written a book called Blended, and it addresses this very issue. They're calling in from Australia today, and we're going to have a nice discussion on just how to be divorced, basically. It's something that a lot of us will need to hear. If you know someone in that situation, you want to be sure and tell them about the show today, and we're going to get after it right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Well, hey there. You know, I really love hearing from y'all. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney @yahoo.com. Drop me a line. And welcome back. My special guests today are Danielle Reagan and Tracy Duff. They've written a book called Blended. Welcome to The Journey of Hope. Let's just dive right in. Send this one over to Tracy. Tracy, how do you tell the kids that the marriage is going to end? I'm sure it depends on the age of the children, but and do we have statistics on how old the average child is that goes through a divorce? What about those areas?
Josh was very young. He was only 9 months old. So it was something that I had to explain to him a little bit later on. So when he was three, it was the first time that he kind of realised that both his father and I were not married anymore. What we did, though, leading up to that, is we did spend a lot of time together as a family, although we weren't together. So we didn't want him to miss out on having time with both parents, the birthdays, the Christmas, the special occasions in his life. And even from the very beginning, when we first separated, his father would come over every morning and come over every evening, so he didn't miss those types of events. So I guess later on in his life, when he stopped doing that so much, when we both moved on with other people, we were able to explain to him properly that although we loved each other, we weren't in a marriage, and that, that was kind of, it was probably maybe when he was, you know, 3, 4, or 5 that we explained that to him later on. But we were very honest with him, and we really made sure that he understood that it wasn't his fault and that he had done nothing wrong. It was that his parents had come to a decision that had nothing to do with him. It was basically about us. But we didn't want him to feel any guilt or any responsibility for that.
Well, of course. Okay. Well, let's back up a little bit here. Let's go through some of the facts y'all sent me. You said that 1 out of 10 children of divorce experiences 3 or more parental marriage breakups. 40% of children growing up in America today are being raised without fathers. 50% of all children born to married parents today will experience the divorce of their parents before they are 18 years old. And so y'all decided to get together and write this book, Blended. Tell us, let's back up a little bit here. Tell us a little bit about how the book came to be and what the title means.
Well, we actually spoke to a lot of our friends because we appeared to be a very healthy and happy family despite our divorce. And we were able to help a lot of our friends that were in the same similar situation. So But really, it was, I think even people just, people seeing us out in public, people would see, and after a while it became so normal to us that we didn't realise that we were quite unusual. A lot of people would comment and were in shock that Josh's mother and stepmother would be standing together on the sideline, you know, with his father and stepfather. People found it quite odd. And I guess for me also, being a teacher, I've also had first-hand experience of seeing the effects that a divorce can have on a child. And I actually met Josh. I taught him in Year One. That's how I met Tracy and Dave and Josh. And there was a massive difference between Josh and between other children whose parents were divorced. And I was always intrigued as to how he seemed to be such a well-balanced child in comparison to so many other kids. But it's really very, very sad, the situation that they have when their parents are divorced. So we both thought, we didn't realise how unusual it was until all these comments on how strange we were that we got along so well, and for me also really seeing the effect that divorce has on those children firsthand, I think.
Okay. So the decision, let's continue with what we had been previously talking about. The decision is made to get a divorce, and that process, I don't know, in Australia, how long is that process? Is it, once you start the court proceedings, is it a few months, a year? How long does that take? Danielle?
Oh, I can't hear you very well. Sorry, I couldn't quite hear that question. Sorry.
Well, I ask you how long the divorce proceeding would take in Australia. I'm curious if it's the same there as it is here. Does it take a number of months? Does it take a year? How does that work?
Oh, okay, yes. It definitely takes a year and a day. So basically you have to be separated for a year and you have to file your divorce papers, and then it takes a month and one day from that day for it to be finalized. So it does take a year for it to happen.
Well, some states here in the United States require that there's a cooling off period, you know, like a 90-day period before anybody can, you know, before anything can be finalized or whatever. But it doesn't take a year. It doesn't take that long. But my question is this, and we can go to Tracy for this. Is it okay to date while that's going on?
I think for Josh's father, he did, and I didn't. But that was probably more because I was going through my healing a little bit earlier. I think it's very hard to bring somebody else into that type of situation where you really haven't finalised your divorce, you really haven't finalised your decision. And I'm glad that they did give you a year, because it's a very, very big decision. It's a bigger decision to me than getting married, because to me, I think divorce, you know, puts children through a lot of pain, and it puts parents through a lot of pain as well. But I didn't choose to bring somebody into that situation because I was still very confused. And also my son was only 9 months old, and I really wanted to protect him from other factors, and I didn't want to introduce him to people that would not necessarily be in his life. At that stage, I was the one that had Josh with me most of the time. But as his father didn't, it was probably easier for him to date. And I do think people deal with things in different ways. I don't think you can really judge somebody and say, well, they mustn't have loved you because they've gone on and dated. People just process things in different ways, and sometimes people process the divorces or the separations by seeing other people to try and heal. So I guess we all deal with it in different ways. Whether one is right or not is not really for me to say, and we definitely did it differently.
Well, I guess what I was really after is, at what point do you introduce someone to your child?
I think from our point of view, when our relationships were serious enough to introduce to other family members, we knew it was time to introduce to our children. So from my point of view, when it was time for me to introduce Scott, my husband, to my parents, I had already introduced Josh as a friend of mine, but not as my partner or as my boyfriend at the time. So. Mm-hmm. We kind of introduced our children as friends first. We introduced, and my husband also has two other children as well, so we introduced them as friends first, and we allowed them to develop a natural relationship, and I allowed my son to develop a natural friendship with my husband before I said, now Scott and I are going to start dating. So we definitely didn't do it in the beginning. I guess it was about 6 months into dating that we decided that we would do that, just to protect the children from another separation if our relationship didn't work. Mm-hmm. But when mm-hmm. we felt that we were in a committed relationship and that we actually wanted to pursue it further, we didn't feel that we could do that without introducing them to the children, because we really wanted to see how we all interacted as a family. But to answer your question, I think it's when you're ready to introduce them to your normal family, like to your parents and your brothers and your sisters, I think you should have introduced your children prior to that, so around the same time.
Okay, good advice. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Daniela and Tracy. The book is called Blended. We'll be back with more right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Well, do you got a jam buddy chord chart yet? Those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis know that one of the things we like to do is promote being constructive with our downtime. Those of us that have suffered from addictions and things that have been so serious that they've put us into prison and taken our freedom away, we have to be careful with our free time. And one of the things that we've always suggested is that you learn how to play an instrument. And something that I've done, as a matter of fact, and the thing that has helped me more than anything, is something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. Now, the Jam Buddy Chord Chart enables you to play songs in any key because it uses something called the Nashville Numbering System. If you're into playing music and you want to improve your ability to play with other people, just click on the link next to the podcast. It's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. It only costs about $4. Get you one, the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And welcome back. Talk to us a little bit, whichever one of y'all wants to take this one, about including the step-parent in the decision-making and the development of the plan. How do you go about doing that?
I'll do that, Daniela. We actually do this a little bit different because we just needed to come up with what works best for us in our own houses. And also I think maybe being a teacher, I'm sort of used to that authoritative role anyway. And also clearing that with Tracy, just making sure that all four of us were okay with what happened in both houses. So for me, it was very important today that I be involved in any decision-making regarding Josh, because he felt that by involving me in everything that happened with Josh's life, it didn't put me sort of on the outside circle of things. It made sure that I felt included as part of this family. And the reason why I decided to become more involved, because it wasn't always like that in the beginning. I had nothing to do with anything. I was very worried about stepping on Tracy's toes, and I didn't want to be involved in any decision-making. But once David and I got married and knew that we would be having our own children, I really, really, it was very important to me that Josh and my biological children never felt different from each other. So that's what really brought us to the decision of saying, okay, well, I'm going to be more involved so that Josh knows that I will treat him. I tried to treat him the same way that I would treat my own children. And now that Dave and I do have our own child, that has worked very well for us. And in discussing it with Josh, Josh has also said to me that it feels more natural to him. I would rather say to Josh, there's something I need to say to Josh. I would rather say to Josh than to sort of go to Dave behind his back and say, well, can you talk to Josh about this, or let's do that for Josh. I'd rather just have an open relationship with him. And for me, very important that he doesn't feel different from our daughter, Milana. I think your house is a bit different, Trace. I'll put Trace on for her house.
Yeah, in our house, with my stepchildren, because I'm also a step-parent, they don't come for visitation more than 4 days a fortnight. So it's a little bit different. Their mum's rules are the rules that we need to respect and honour, because that's what they're used to the most. So with discipline, I leave that to my husband.
And also, too, it gives him an opportunity to parent because they're not always with him. But my stepchildren and I have a little bit of a different relationship to Josh that he has with his stepmother, Demi, because they don't spend as much time with us. I've known them since they were 3 years old and 7 years old, and they're now 13 and 16. But the discipline has always been issued by their father. And I think that works for us in our household. And with Daniela and David, I endorse whatever decisions Daniela makes for Josh, I endorse. I will never step in as his mother and say, no, I don't agree, because it's not my place to do that. So when I come and visit Daniela and David, which I do regularly, Josh won't ask me for permission to do something if he's in this house. If he's in their home, he will ask Daniela for permission to do that, and I endorse that. Now, I know a lot of people that I've spoken to about that find that quite strange, that as his mother, I wouldn't be the person that he would come to, but we really endorse the step parents in both homes.
This whole concept of the discipline is interesting to me. I'm a step parent myself, and it just seemed like, to me, there was a point, I didn't participate in the discipline initially, but as the years went on, it just became, I don't know, it just seemed right for me to participate in the discipline. And I really have to take my hat off to you, because is that hard for you to step back and to not discipline? Is that hard for you?
Sorry, Ronnie, do you mind repeating that question? It was just a bit, we couldn't hear properly.
I was asking, is it hard for you to not participate in the discipline? Is it hard to step back?
Look, yes, I do think so, because this is Tracy, I have rules for Josh that he also has in, obviously, at his father's house, and they're the same. So not being able to enforce those rules in my house for my stepchildren is very challenging, and there have been issues between my husband and myself when I said, look, I really want them to do this, can you talk to them about it? It does put you in an awkward position, because the children then also know that you're not going to discipline them, and they also know that they can get away with quite a lot more than when their father is home. So it is more challenging. The decision that we made was a joint decision between my husband and myself. I'm a little bit stricter than he is, and I also have to respect that his children and the way that he disciplines them is going to be a little bit different to the way that I would do it. But it is something definitely that is very hard to sit back and not be involved, especially when you can see that it could be done differently, or you think that your way may work a little bit better. But what I normally do is speak to my husband separately and say, well, look, you handled it this way, this is how I would have done it. And it's not always in such a nice way. Sometimes we'll really argue about it. But at the end of the day, I do respect his decision in our home, even though it is different to the way that we step parenting in the other home for Josh.
I really got to take my hat off to y'all. Y'all are bigger people than me, because when I went through a divorce, it just seems like no matter how hard we tried to be nice to each other, there was just always this contentious, headbutting that went on. And there were issues with the discipline. I like the way y'all have laid this out. Tracy, how do people find the book? How do they get the book?
Well, they can go to Amazon and they can download the book, or they can also go to our website at www.blended-book.com, or they can also get it for their Kindle from Amazon as well.
Oh, cool.
But if anyone wants to get a paperback copy, if they email us at sales@blendedideas.com, we'll be able to get a book out to them as well, and they can read about our story.
Excellent. Danielle Origan, Tracy Duff, they are the co-authors of a book called Blended, a very interesting concept and way to write. It's their perception of divorce from their point of view. Cool book. I recommend it. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Thank you.
back. I want to tell you about something that happened to me this week. I'm on a little rant here. One of the things I do is I read a lot of blogs. I read them because sometimes I'm looking for guests and sometimes I'm just bored and it's just something that I like to do with my free time other than playing music is to read some blogs. I've found some pretty good guests on the blogs. But anyway, I was reading a blog last week and I'll be darned if I didn't see a byline by someone that I recognized the name. It's kind of an unusual name. I'm not going to use the name here, but I'll tell you, I started kind of digging on the name a little bit, and I found out, sure enough, it was the person that I thought it was. Now, those of you that listen to the show or have clicked on the About button up there on the podcast know that I taught school for 16 years. And it's been a long time. My last year was like 2000 was my last year of teaching school. But as the years go by, I don't remember very many students anymore. But there's 2, 3, 4, 5 maybe that stand out in my mind. I'll probably never forget them for different reasons. This particular one was the one that was writing for this blog. And this particular one I remember as being very intelligent, so intelligent that, you know, I was teaching 8th grade history at the time in Houston, and that little girl could have just skipped on several grades. She was that smart. And so I see this name, and I'm able to confirm that it's her, and I started trying to contact her, and like I sent like two little notes to her through Google Plus, and I didn't get a response. And I was thinking, you know, that's kind of odd. I mean, surely she would remember me if she thought hard enough, and I know it was a long time ago and everything, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, hey, here we go with another post-incarceration lesson. And I think that probably, now I'm just taking a wild guess here, but probably what happened is she looked and saw that I was incarcerated and it probably kind of creeped her out, or, you know, and I can't really blame her for that. But I guess my point in telling you all of this is that we need to realize that, you know, I took my eye off the ball there for a minute, and I should have, the first thing I should have thought of is, nah, you don't want to open that can of worms. I mean, you know, this person, all they have to do is Google your name, and they can find out tons of stuff about you. None of it's really very good except for the podcast, but anyway, so the point I was trying to get to here is that we need to keep in mind that we're never really totally, I don't care what any of these feel-good people, authors say when they come on the show, we're never going to totally get past the incarceration in the eyes of other people, because, you know, once that little seed is planted in their perception of us, that's all she wrote, you know, and I don't think that there's any way to get past it. And you got to watch out for, you got to watch out for the people who say, I don't judge. Watch out for those the most, okay? Anyway, I thought I'd pass that little story along to you, and I just want you to know that I'm thinking about you when you get into those situations when, you know, maybe it's been a while now. I don't go a day without thinking about my incarceration. But as the years go by now, it's not as traumatic for me to think about it. And like in that particular situation, trying to contact that former student, that I don't know, man. It caught me by surprise. I just totally let my guard down on that, and I should have never have done that. So I was just setting myself up to be disappointed, I think. So anyway, I'm thinking about you if you run into those situations, and if you've got situations like that you want to tell me about, feel free to send me an email. Remember, it's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And that's all the time we have this week. I want to thank my special guests, Daniel Rigon and Tracy Duff. You want to try to check that book out, Blended, if you can. And I want you to remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? Hey, listen, we got a bunch of more shows lined up for the summer, and you want to be sure and tune in. And I also wanted to say real quick before we go that I got some emails from people who were like, where's the show? I was a couple of days late posting it this week, so I'll try to do better on that. Until next time, this is Rodney Mathers. Remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope. We'll